I hate to break it to all of you bottled water drinkers out there. Your bottled water is just as contaminated as tap water. In fact, it's actually full of not just microplastics, but the hormone disruptors that are leaching from the plastic that it's been sitting in. Hey there, my name is Wendy, and I'm an environmental toxins lawyer who is obsessed with showing women how to toss the toxins out of their life and embrace a more holistic lifestyle. I'll be dishing up bite-sized but binge-worthy episodes on all things detox, low tox, and what's that toxin? And what is it really doing to my health? I'm breaking it all down for you, separating the myths from the facts and pulling back the curtain on the products and beauty industry. You'll hear my unfiltered and sometimes unpopular, but honest opinions. No topic is off limits. We'll dive into what's really causing our thyroid issues, hormone imbalances, infertility, and more. Think of it as a crash course for all things holistic living, but for real life. You don't have to do everything. You just have to start somewhere. Let me show you how. This is the Detox Dilemma Podcast. Welcome to episode 4 of the Detox Dilemma Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy, and this episode is about all things drinking water. I don't know about you, but I grew up drinking tap water at home, and when I was at school, I drank from drinking fountains, and I'm sure many of you did too. But if you're somebody who's drinking tap water today, or maybe if you're somebody who's also drinking bottled water, you are going to want to listen to this episode. I'm going to be going over what kinds of toxins are found in your tap water, how you can find out in less than 10 seconds what is in your water in your home, and finally, what kind of filter you need to filter out whatever it is you find. According to the Environmental Working Group, a nonprofit who's been tracking water quality reports nationwide for decades, they've identified more than 300 contaminants in tap water across 45 states, and nearly two-thirds of those contaminants are completely unregulated. So what's in your water? I want to do something I will probably never do again and tell you to hit the pause button on this episode. Here's why. I want you to pull up your phone or your computer, and while you're listening to the rest of this episode, I want you to have what I'm about to tell you pulled up in front of you. I think that having that visual will be powerful. Go to www.ewg.org/tapwater. Put in your zip code and look up the contaminants that are found in your local drinking water system. Okay, now that you have that up, take a quick look and then come back to this episode. You're probably looking at a legit list of toxins. My own report, which I have up right in front of me, has 10 contaminants listed that are significantly higher than the set public health goals. And you're probably wondering, whoa, wait a minute, isn't drinking water quality regulated in the United States? Well, yes, kind of. Our drinking water is supposed to be regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency, but that doesn't mean they're doing a very good job doing it. The Safe Drinking Water Act, which was passed in 1974, required the EPA to set limits on toxins and bacteria in our drinking water. And from 1986 to 1996, the EPA set limits for 89 different toxins, bacteria, and viruses. Which, as somebody who works at a government agency, that is truly impressive. But during that time, Congress required the EPA to analyze and regulate these chemicals regularly. That all changed in 1996. The water utilities complained that they couldn't keep pace with filtration requirements and ever-changing rules, so they lobbied Congress, and they won. The Safe Drinking Water Act was amended, and now it leaves it up to the EPA to decide when and if it will set new limits. In the 25 years since that amendment went into effect, only one single new contaminant has been regulated under the law. Meanwhile, over 30,000 new untested toxins have come into the market. So you're probably wondering, how do these chemicals get into your water? And you may be imagining that they have some facilities or manufacturing plants somewhere, or maybe there's been a disaster. As I'm recording this, the Ohio River train crash happened just a few days ago. Chemicals like vinyl chloride have now contaminated the soil and soon the groundwater in that area. And the contamination will spread. The chemical plume has already made its way to the Ohio River. And as sad as that disaster is, and it truly is, these toxins are being put into our water systems on a daily basis. The toxins that are in your personal care products are running off of your body and running down your sinks when you're doing dishes or in the laundry. It all goes back into either our water system or eventually our groundwater. And then there's the things that just aren't regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act at all, like pharmaceuticals, antibiotics, birth control, hormones, antidepressants, steroids, pain medication, PFAS, and tens of thousands of other chemicals that have never been studied at all. These medications and chemicals are considered emerging contaminants, which means their health impact is unknown and there are no rules or regulations. Just this past year, after a lot of political and media pressure, the EPA finally announced that they're committing to setting drinking water limits for PFAS chemicals. And you may have heard the word PFAS in the news, but it's basically the class of chemicals that makes up what you know as Teflon. It's on your nonstick pans. It's a slick chemical that can't be destroyed, which is why these chemicals are called forever chemicals. They persist in our water and in our bodies. And while I was happy to hear the announcement that the EPA is finally going to do something about it, and I'm also glad that it's finally getting media attention, I mean, my DMs on Instagram are full of people asking me about PFAS in mascara or in their period underwear. That Thinks lawsuit got a lot of people's attention. But I can't help but wonder, where has everyone been all this time? As early as the 90s, DuPont was sued in a class action suit for contaminating groundwater with PFAS chemicals, which caused widespread cancer. They actually settled that lawsuit for over $600 million. And while I'm glad for the people who got a little bit of justice from DuPont, these chemicals pollute the water of 7 million Americans. It's in our blood. And it's in remote parts of the planet. These chemicals have contaminated all of the water. I haven't even scratched the surface yet. And fluoride, well, it's getting its own solo episode. I could literally teach an entire semester-long course on all the ways the Safe Drinking Water Act misses the mark entirely when it comes to your health. So I can emphatically say to you, yes, you should be filtering your drinking water. Are you reading labels, but you don't even really know what you're looking at, let alone know which ones are toxic? And wondering if you really need to spend $8 on an all-natural cleaner made of nothing but vinegar? And how much of this marketing is just a bunch of greenwashing anyway? If you're confused, you are in good company. That was me when I first started detoxing my home. But now I've helped hundreds of families do it simply and without the overwhelm using my Tossing the Toxins roadmap. The best part, it is completely free. I wanted to create the perfect toxin-free cheat sheet and then give it away to anyone who wanted it. The roadmap walks you through what areas to focus on first that will give you the best bang for your health buck. You can download what I call the Toxic 20, which is my top 20 ingredients to avoid, right to your phone. It's jam-packed full of easy-to-follow steps on embracing a low-tox life. My only goal was to make it simple, like crazy simple. If you're ready to start detoxing your life, go download your free roadmap at www.tossingthetoxins.com. Okay, so now you know for sure you need a filter. Let's take a look at that report that you pulled up from the Environmental Working Group. Why I love this tool isn't just because it's a comprehensive look at all the contaminants. It's also meant to educate you. It will tell you right there on the report what the source of the contamination is and what kind of filter you need to filter it out. It is super handy. You'll also notice there's a comparison between the legal limit and what they call a public health goal. Remember I told you most of the limits set by the EPA happened between 1986 and 1996? Well, that was a long time ago, and we have a lot more data now and understanding about the science behind how these chemicals impact our health. Those public health goals represent the most current science. Just because a chemical is below a legal limit set by the EPA back in the 80s doesn't mean it's not causing you harm. And if you're on well water or you want to test your filter, I recommend a company called TapScore. I use them personally. You can send them your water sample through the mail and you can get back a full environmental toxins panel and it's returned to you in an easy to understand report. But before I talk about filter options, I hate to break it to all of you bottled water drinkers out there. Your bottled water is just as contaminated as tap water. In fact, it's actually full of not just microplastics, but the hormone disruptors that are leaching from the plastic that it's been sitting in. Okay, so what's the difference between all the filters out there? I'm going to go over the three most common. The one that you probably are most familiar with is a carbon filter. It's what Brita filters use. You know, those pitchers you find in grocery stores. Carbon filters are the most popular, and they're really good at removing things like chlorine, chemicals, and gases, as well as physical impurities like sediments, so it will make your water taste better. The carbon acts like a sponge, so it's really important that you change out your filter when it's time. A common issue with these carbon filters, if you don't change them out when you're supposed to, they can actually grow mold, which is a huge problem. It also doesn't take things out of your water like fluoride or copper, nitrates, arsenic, microbes, or heavy metals. So it's actually not super helpful. Gravity filters are a step up from those carbon filters, and they usually sit on your countertop. Berkey's probably the most popular. I personally use Pro One. You put the water from your tap on the top reservoir, and it drips down using gravity into the bottom area where you get your fresh water. These actually get a majority of the contaminants out, so they're a good option, but they do take up space on your countertop, and they take a little time to filter your water. A reverse osmosis system that goes underneath your sink is my choice for a filter. It can take out 98% of what's in your water, including heavy metals. But when you're shopping for an RO system, you want to be careful. When it takes out those heavy metals, it also is taking out all the good minerals which you need in your water. So make sure if you buy an RO system that it comes with a remineralizing filter that puts your electrolytes and your minerals back in your water. You can find all of my favorite filters and all my recommendations in the show notes. I hope this was helpful and I hope you learned something. When people come to me and they're very first starting out their toxin-free journey, this is actually the first thing that I tell them to do, that the most important thing they can do for their health, they want to kick the toxins out, is to filter their water. If you love this episode, I'd be so grateful if you would share it with a friend or leave a review. It really does mean a lot. I'll see you next week.